The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and f**ks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault.
The Good Beer Bad Movie Night Podcast.
Welcome to episode 34 of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, a podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. My name is Pete, and tonight I am joined by the regular cast and crew. Kathleen is here tonight. Hello.
I did come back.
You did. I was genuinely shocked to see you walk in the door. Sitting next to her, the lovely...
In case anybody's wondering where.
The sultry. Well, not maybe not anymore.
Why not anymore?
Did you lose your sultry status?
You went from deep baritone, possibly bass, to awesome voice.
No? More of an alto.
Okay.
Like a nasally alto.
Yeah. So you are feeling better, sir.
You had
a terrible cold.
Oh, man. It was unfun. But I'm back to just normal sniffly now.
Yeah. I know. He got up this morning and started coughing. He was like, "My God, where did this cough come from?" I said, "Well, we have to record a podcast tonight, so of course you have gold."
It's not a podcast if I'm not sniffing, coughing, hacking into the corner into the mic somewhere.
Yeah.
Turned into pneumonia.
That's
which makes it all worth it.
Yeah,
I was real thrilled.
Well, thanks for powering through, Troy. I appreciate that. Dave is also with us. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Are you sick? Are you? How are you feeling tonight?
I
Where did you go?
Nowhere. I just decided to imbibe a few adult beverages, and then 2 o'clock rolled around, and I realized.
Oh no.
Yeah.
What have I done?
Oh no, that I knew. I knew exactly what I did.
It's all my fault.
Thinking like, yeah, I made good choices.
I think at our age it goes from what have I done to why have I done?
Yeah.
It happens. So tonight's feature presentation from 1991 is a movie called The Guyver.
The Guyver!
The Guyver! Oh, man. I saw this in high school with my buddy Andy. We go to the video store and pick up a VHS and pick something out by the cover. And this had Mark Hamill's face half with the mask of something Ultraman-y.
We're going to get to that.
Which I didn't know what Ultraman was at the time. I just went, that's fucking cool. And we got it and watched it and... That's the only time I've seen it except this podcast.
Except now, yeah.
So I have fond memories of it. There's a lot of nostalgia here.
I saw this movie in high school as well.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Which that is a shock because this is not a...
It does not ring Kathleen.
Yeah, no. It doesn't seem to be in your wheelhouse.
No, it does not.
So since I picked the movie, I'm going to do the 6-minute synopsis today where I take 6 minutes to summarize the movie from top to bottom. Of course, we're going to take a quick break. I have beer from a listener.
A listener.
Yes, a listener. And I got a story, and we'll talk about the story later. We have 3 beers to drink tonight, so it's okay.
Okay.
We're not going to get... This isn't like Gen level 9 and 11% beers.
Oh, yeah.
So fermented at the end of the last
You could tell, oh, yeah, it was great. Like, there was a moment, like, you could tell, oh, something just turned right there. Yeah. All of a sudden, you were a lot happier about that night. Yeah.
So we'll do some movie discussions, we'll do some beer drinking and beer discussions, and then we're going to wrap everything up with our 6-pack rating where we let you, the listener, know just how drunk you need to be to enjoy this film. So if we want to just jump right into the 6-minute synopsis, we can get this train a roll.
I have the timer ready.
All right, give me a sec. I got to get this in 6 minutes, right?
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
What did we say? Like above?
I think we gave it a
like 10, 20
roughly
seconds?
30 seconds.
Right. 30.
Over, under, over.
Over, under, over.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes me feel a little
I mean,
better.
It might depend on, you know, how how badly you do with the synopsis or how much I hate the movie, how generous I'm going to be with.
So the more you hate the movie, the closer.
Had I not already told Jen that there was a bit of an under over, I would have told her it had to be 6 minutes on the dot because I was so infuriated by that movie.
Your rage was a thing of beauty.
It was something could literally hold. So not good. To behold, it could be held. It was a physical
thing. It was palpable.
Thing.
Oh, yeah. It was like wading through like a fog. I was sitting here across from you. I'm like, I'm so nervous. I don't know what I don't know why I didn't do anything, but I just for some reason I just don't want to be
you're
here.
You're sitting there going, "I'm so glad I didn't pick this movie." Yeah, all right, let's talk about The Guyver.
Okay, The Guyver, starring Mark Hamill, Michael Berryman, Jimmy Walker, Jeffrey Combs, David Gale, and special guest star, or I guess cameo, by Leanna Quigley. Woo-hoo! Anyway, yeah.
Okay.
With the looks on all your faces, you're like, whatever.
Yeah, Return of the Living Dead, all that stuff.
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Don't know, but we'll talk about it.
All right. So
ready?
I am ready.
Set, go.
Our film begins with a text scroll letting us know that humans were created as an organic weapon by an alien race and that some humans were able to change into super monster soldiers. We also are told that the Guyver is space armor that will increase a human's natural powers 100-fold, but that no one knows how to activate it. Basically, this exposition is somewhere in between the plot of Prometheus and The Greatest American Hero. We cut to an alley where we see a research scientist carrying a metal science briefcase and running for his life from some baddies led by Lisker, played by the creepy dude from The Hills Have Eyes, Michael Berryman. Before the baddies catch him, the scientist is able to hide the contents of the briefcase in a red plastic lunchbox he found in the alley. Ew. The baddies eventually catch up with him and demand the briefcase, but the scientist morphs into a fish creature and attacks the baddies. Lisker then changes into a monster himself, kills the scientist Fishman, and takes the briefcase. Later that night, we are introduced to our hero Sean and his girlfriend Mitski. Sean is in the middle of getting his ass kicked in karate class while Mitski watches. CIA agent Luke Skywalker stops by the dojo and asks to have a word with Mitski while Sean continues to get pummeled. Privately, Luke tells Mitski that her father, the scientist from the alley, is dead. Luke was supposed to meet him earlier that evening because the scientist wanted to give Luke something important from the lab that he was working on. Understandably, Mitski is bummed and leaves the dojo with Luke. Sean sees the two of them leave and follows them on his super cool Vespa. We get our first dagger swipe. So it's kind of a star wipe, but instead of seeing the shape of a star leading you into the next scene, it's kind of like a shard or a knife that kind of swoops. Anyway, we get a few of them through the film, and it's not worth mentioning any more than once. Anyway, we get a dagger swipe from that scene to the Kronos Corporation, which is the lab of where the dead scientist works. Here we find out that Fulton Balkas, played by David Gale, is the evil head of the corporation. Those of you who have seen The Reanimator will find that very funny, and the rest of you will not. Lisker hands over the briefcase that the scientist stole, only to find that the contents are not what they were expecting. Balkas is really pissed off and telekinetically tortures Lisker for his mistake until Lisker swears he will find the original contents. Sean has followed Luke and Mitski to the scene of her father's death, which apparently is still an active crime scene as we see the coroners taking the corpse away. Sean is stalking them from a safe distance when he comes across the red plastic lunchbox. When this lunchbox starts to glow, Sean opens it and finds an oddly shaped thingamabob inside. He pockets the who's a what's its, mounts his trusty Vespa, and heads home. In the meantime, Lisker and his goons are rummaging through the alley looking for the same whatchamacallit. Jimmy Walker plays one of Lisker's goons, and he performs a really uncomfortable rap about something, and it just made me really sad for him. On the way home, Sean's Vespa breaks down in a dark alley, and since it's 1991, he's immediately jumped by a gang. During the struggle, Sean falls headfirst onto the device, which turns out to be the space armor Guyver. The Guyver does a cool melty thing and encases Sean in the space armor, which allows him to beat up the gang. After the rumble, Sean tries to get the armor off, but he can't. As he screams in frustration, the armor flies off of off of him and is absorbed into his body, kind of like that Venom flick from last year. Balkas finds out that the scientist had a daughter, so he sends Lisker and the goons to go get her, to go kidnap her from her apartment to see if she knows where the Guyver's location is. Sean arrives at Miski's apartment with some carryout food and sees that the apartment has been trashed. He runs downstairs from the apartment and sees the goons tossing Miski into a van. At the same time, Luke shows up and they knock out two of the goons and run away with Miski. The goons then all change into monsters and trap our heroes in an abandoned warehouse. Fighting breaks out, and the monsters are winning when Sean figures out how to change into the Guyver. All he says is, "I am the Guyver!" And poof, the armor encases him. From there, there's a lot of rubber-suited monster fighting, and finally, Litzker is able to beat the Guyver by grossly pulling out the orb from the Guyver's helmet. The Guyver then melts into a gloopy ooze, and the goons take Miski and Luke back to the Kronos Corporation. Balkas tries to get information about the Guyver from Miski. When she tells him she doesn't know anything about the Guyver, Balkas, for no reason that I can figure, gives her a tour of his secret lab and explains his evil plan for world domination. Basically, he's making monsters out of people or something like that. It's confusing, stupid, and I'm pretty sure nobody listening to me really cares. Balkas knows Miski. Balkas shows Miski what's left of the Guyver and tells her that it appears to be reforming into a new Guyver unit. He also shows her that they have started processing Luke into a monster. Miski knees Balkum in the nuts, stealing the reforming Guyver. Chaos ensues as everybody turns into a monster and starts chasing her a la Scooby-Doo cartoon. When all appears to be lost, the Guyver finally fully reforms and we get more rubber suit monster fighting. During the fight, Luke unceremoniously turns into a monster and dies. After the Guyver beats everyone, we get the final boss fight as Balkum turns into a huge monster and we get more fighting. Eventually, the Guyver is victorious. Sean is now able to control the Guyver suit and he and Miski walk off into the sunset.
You had 19 seconds left.
That fits within the criteria. Phew.
Otherwise, it was going to be 25 seconds in the spanking machine.
Depends on what kind of spanking you're talking about.
Bear asked with a board.
Sounds like a party to me. Maybe not.
On that note, I need a beer.
Let's go get a beer.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Oh, well done.
Thank you.
So we have three beers to try tonight. We're doing two different ones here from the Mantra Brewing Company in Tennessee. We have Amour Rouge. This is a Flanders style red ale.
Oh, there's sediment in the bottom of this. So there's yeasty.
Yes. This is a sour red ale. I think Kathleen doesn't like red ales, but loves sours. So this is kind of like,
I know, I can't wait.
Could be anything for you.
It could be anything.
ABV is 6.2%.
Thank God.
IBUs are 4. Jody would love this beer, maybe.
Yeah.
It is. What color would you call that?
Coppery?
I've got a lot of the yeast. That sounded weird.
Here.
We can do some mixing.
I drank mine. I drank it already.
So this is a sour. This is a sour ale.
He's most likely to cause people to be ill.
Yes. If we were the Four Horsemen, you would be pestilence.
I would.
It's true.
It is true.
I like to think of myself as famine. That makes Pete death.
God. Description.
I'm glad we determined who would be who. Now that's
dark and bold, reminiscing acidity. This beer is as perfect on a cold night as it is on a summer day. Amour Rouge can provide instant gratification or reward those who wait.
And it's Flanders style?
Yes, Flanders style sour red ale.
Goodly doodly.
Stupid sexy Flanders.
Oh, this is good, man.
I like this.
Is it good?
Ooh, mm-hmm. It smells a...
I mean, definitely it is...
Oh, Lord.
Definitely got some sour to
that
it.
There's a sour beer.
Oh, yeah.
That smells sour.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a sour.
Yeah, there's no...
Oh, Jesus.
There's no red, like, lager, like a... Mm-hmm.
No, nope. this is...
There's no Killian's to this.
All the things that I hate about a red are completely covered by all the things I love about a sour. This is an amazing beer. Where did it come from? Who brought it to us? Because you said this is a listener beer?
Yes, this came from Tennessee.
We have a listener?
I know. I'm as surprised as you are.
Thank you.
We love
you too.
Right. So Rod Barnett from the Nashy Cast and the Bloody Pit.
Oh, yes.
We've run their promos here.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We ran into each other. We started talking. He's like, hey, I got some beers for you. And brought me out to his car and gave me 3 beers. So we're going to be trying them tonight. Thank you, Rod. This is wonderful. I've always wanted to do a Paul Nashy movie, except they're kind of good.
So we can't do it.
I don't know. I wouldn't shit on it at all because they're bonkers.
Sounds
but anyway, Rod's got a hell of a podcast over there. He does some really nice things. He and his buddy Troy Gwynn, they do the Bloody Pit together. And Troy and I run into each other at G-Fest every year. Mm. So we're hoping Rod goes to G-Fest once also. I don't think I can hit Monster Bash this year, unfortunately. But we thank you very much, Rod.
Yeah, thank you very
Cheers.
Much.
Yep. This is, so, okay, sours are not my thing. Kathleen, why don't you, since they are your thing, why don't you give us some descriptors here?
Oh, okay. I mean, so far I can tell you delicious.
I'm getting like grapefruit.
Mm.
Grapefruit rind, maybe?
I mean, it's even more just like a lemon. Like, there's definitely sour, and it's like middle of the tongue sour, you know? It's like,
I think high lemon acidity. Is a good one, Troy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't get like that, the sweeter. Or even that bitter that grapefruit has. Like, this is just this is just a good, solid sour.
Yeah, it is really good. I think what can be a turnoff for people who don't like them, A, if you just don't enjoy something that's sour. Like, I like sour candies and things like that, too. Mm-hmm. So I like that sour flavor. To me, sometimes with a sour, and it's both something I both enjoy about them and can pull away from them, is you don't taste any of the other aspects of a beer. So like when it's a sour IPA, sign me up, because it doesn't taste like grass. Mm. And so it's like, yes, this is exactly what I'm looking for. When, you know, a sour, this being a sour red, I can't stand a red, but I love this because I don't taste any of the stuff that makes a red a red. So if you love a red, you're not maybe going to taste that. Mm-hmm. And so that could be part of the turnoff in a sour for somebody. But I really like this.
It's a
good color.
It is a puckering beer for sure.
Big time.
I've had sours that are more puckering, but I would say this is one of the more pleasant sours I've had.
It is softer than I was expecting.
Yeah, I would. And as it's warming up here, it's not as puckery. It's softening up, I think. Mm-hmm. And since we only had one, these are warming up kind of quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like it. It's really nice.
Split it and shared it.
Mm-hmm.
I do like it.
Well, that is at
Where
first
is
very
this
eye-watering.
Brewery located? You said Tennessee?
Tennessee, yeah. Rod's from Nashville. As I was reading history on the brewery, it was in this... It's a crazy long gobbledygook of letters that when I was looking at, I'm like, I'm not even going to try this.
What, where the brewery is?
Where the brewery was originally, is it on the bottle?
Yeah, Franklin.
No, that's not, that's not where I was, that's not what I was reading.
Franklin, Tennessee.
No, that's not what I was reading. I think it moved to Franklin. Because I was reading that the brewery has moved late 19. From wherever it was to where it is
Franklin. So it was in a Tennessee town that has some kind of Native American name to it.
Clearly.
That you don't want to slaughter.
I don't want to.
I get that. Living on the banks of the Scioto and Olentangy River, I understand how that annoys the hell out of you when somebody says those things wrong.
So that's where this is from. And that'd be a great patio beer.
Yeah.
Just to let it, just get it ice cold and maybe take a sip or two and then let it warm up. Oh, yeah, I can.
See, I'm
going to
take like big gulps when it's cold, and then sip it as it's warm, because I do like it. I do agree with you that it's softening up, and I do like that as well. But I like that punch in the kisser sour.
It's so much fun when a beer's personality changes as you drink it,
like saisons and
a
saison will change sip will change.
This is a kissing cousin to a saison. I mean, they're farmhouse, lambic.
Oh, my.
So I'm really looking forward to the next one. Let's take a quick rinse break, and we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rod Barnett, the host of The Bloody Pit.
the podcast about eclectic film from across the decade. On the Bloody Pit, we've covered Godzilla movies, Doctor Who movies starring Peter Cushing, The Outer Limits, Fu Manchu, Doc Savage, old radio shows, my favorite movies of all time, a Lucio Fulci film or two, 1970s science fiction movies, and a long series on the films of Italian maestro Antonio Margheriti. So if you're curious to learn a little bit about some of the stranger areas of cult film and television, join me and my rotating group of co-hosts on The Bloody Pit. You might even learn something about Coffin Joe. And that's scary, people. Very scary.
What do we got?
This is Nouveau.
Woo-hoo.
Not Nuevo, right?
No, it's Nouveau.
Nouveau. Belgian-style double. Dubbelbock? No. It's a Belgian. And frankly, Belgians used to be the beer. Like, mm-hmm. Belgians in... Oh, God, what? Like the...
In Belgium?
Shut up. No. Like the early, maybe mid-2000s, late 90s to mid-2000s, Belgians were the hot beer.
I thought it was the IPAs that were the hot beer.
The no, IPAs came after that.
They came
that,
after. Because the Belgian, that's a Blue Moon, right?
In
that family.
Yeah.
It's the gateway drug as, to Belgium.
Yes. It's definitely a gateway drug.
Because I feel like that came out and we started floating oranges and everything. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden it was all Belgian all the time.
There was a beer writer. His name was Michael Jackson. And he was obsessed with. And a great promoter of Belgian beers. He's unfortunately no longer with us. But he was a real proponent of the Belgian styles and just wrote books and books about them because there are so many.
Michael Jackson, is this the same Michael Jackson that wrote the book on whiskey? Scotch?
That's a high possibility, yes. He was an auteur.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I have Michael Jackson's guide to Scotch whiskey. Like, it's... He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah,
like,
it would not surprise me at all. He's kind of a hairy dude, big beard and shit.
I think it's the same guy.
Uh-huh, probably. Would not surprise me. He was quite the author. But he was, again, a big proponent of the Belgian styles right before the IPAs started going bonkers. Mm-hmm. And now we're leaning towards this. Now we're not. We're feet first in sours right now.
Oh, yeah, we are.
So we'll see if it's...
My joy.
We'll see if it's cyclical. I think that... Stouts, or at least the Russian Imperial Stouts, had a short life. But since they're Imperial, you can't drink a lot of them.
Mm. Right.
And most people will look at a Stout or a Porter and go, oh, I can't drink that in the summer, which I heartily disagree with. But that's just a common perception. And when you see something light like this, I can drink this year-round. Mm-hmm. You can drink sours year-round. They're good on the patio. They're good in the fire or in mm-hmm. front of a fire.
They're good in the fire. Light yourself on fire.
Yeah, don't get in the fire.
Yeah. They're good for self-immolation.
I'm excited that the sours have taken off as much as they have in the last even 18 months because not last summer, but the summer before, by the end of summer, you couldn't find a sour. And I was like, whoa, wait, what?
Sure.
No. They weren't putting them out. Like, it was like...
It was a summer beer.
It was a summer beer.
That's bullshit.
But I think enough people were like, hey, what the fuck? Yeah. I want that all the time. Yeah. But they went, oh, you want to drink this in December too? Let's bring it out all year. So
they literally were not stocking the shelves with it because...
No, they weren't. So now...
We know because we were looking for it.
Right. Now, we live in a lovely town where we have our own sour brewery right here in town. So
we
could
should
definitely
go up there and
scratch that itch.
Do
but,
a drop, yeah. Ill-mannered, no.
Pretentious.
Pretentious.
Pretentious, I'm sorry.
Literally the opposite.
Sorry. Sorry. Yes. Was it nowhere in particular? Don't they do a bunch of sours?
Somewhere in particular.
Yeah. Somewhere in particular.
Yeah.
You're just getting everything wrong.
I'm getting all effed up, man. Yeah. Anyway, this is a Belgian style. Double ale. ABV is 7.5. IBUs are 11.4.
Caramel is
not 100. In the Geary. This is
no, it
this
is not.
Falls outside of the Geary.
This smells like a malt bomb.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it is.
But in a world that experiences the present as an anticipated memory, the experiencing self and the remembering self become architects of our mental narratives.
What the fuck?
I'm reading it straight up.
Maybe this should be pretentious.
Right.
Right. No doubt.
Life becomes an
idolized becomes a miasma
memory.
Of...
The beer language that we speak informs our world of the duality of multiple mind wares. Nouveau is a cultural reality tunnel into a time where beer was consciousness. Dear Lord. Goodness.
What the fuck, dude? Not, like, I, not to cast aspersions, but that dude's up his ass.
Yeah, this is, I remember
this
somebody,
gets, like, but,
somebody gets paid for their description by the word.
Maybe, yeah.
But let me just tell you.
Or the letter.
This is a delicious beer. I don't usually like a malty beer, but man, this is like a really smooth caramel. Got some maybe vanilla.
A lot of candy sugar in that.
Yeah. Yes. Like a dark sugar, like a turbinado
dark,
sugar.
Like Belgian candy, that rock candy sugar. Yeah, there's a lot of that. I was hoping, well, the Doubles tend to be a little thicker.
Right. Mm. Thick, but this is not as sticky as I was expecting it to be.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's
There's kind
it's
of a honeyed
thick.
Flavor to it mm-hmm. versus a caramel.
Yeah, there is
okay.
like a
yeah, yeah, yeah.
A thick viscous, but it's yeah. it doesn't linger much.
Is there such a thing as a dark honey? Because mm-hmm.
sure,
if there was such a thing as dark honey, that's
it's caramel. No, I'm joking.
No. Dark honey sounds like an evil version of honey.
Calm
dark
down.
Honey,
like, dark honey,
like
evil
dark
bees.
Kermit
the swarm.
Versus...
those bees make dark
the,
honey.
Yes, the swarm makes dark honey.
Beat me to it.
I don't know, to be proud of myself or ashamed of myself.
Ashamed. You should be ashamed.
Nah, I should be. Any mention of the swarm. Now, this... I apologize, Rodney. Thank you very much for these beers. And
yes.
When I got these, I had delusions of grandeur to use them right away. Like,
oh,
okay,
really?
We're going to do these right away because they should be fresh. And they right mm-hmm. off the... And they just sat and sat and sat and sat. Because we had plans for
a lot
of the year already. And every time I went, oh, yeah... I'll whip these out, and then something came up. Like, oh yeah, because we had...
I'll whip these out, and something came up.
Right. There's a movie.
Makes it hard to whip that one.
Anyway, I'm making excuses, but it is what it is.
The good news is that it means that they have a shelf life mm-hmm. to them.
The sour did really well as a shelf life.
Well, because like when you were mentioning... like that's one of the reasons why I asked you when Monster Fest was. So you've had these... almost a year.
Yeah, at least
you know,
eight
months, 9 months. Mm-hmm. So I like it when a beer can have a shelf life because it just annoys me if you're buying a six pack or whatever and it's like that pressure of having to get it finished mm-hmm. before it skunks, you know, I don't know. That just rubs me the wrong way. Like it's not milk. Fucking figure it out.
Well, there are many reasons beer will not, I would say spoil, but will skunk you. Light will do it.
Light's the big one, yeah.
Light is the biggest one. Don't buy clear bottle or green bottle beers, folks. Just don't do it. Just the UV rays will go in there.
Friends, don't let friends.
F it all up. then, of course, time. But cans will always are a better seal than bottles. Always, always, always.
Right.
Most of these smaller breweries, these craft breweries, they don't pasteurize anything. They don't have the capability or the need to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the faster you drink most of these craft beers, the fresher will be, the better it will be. Because they won't spoil over time.
So does the pasteurization process actually do anything to the flavor of a beer? I mean, does it take anything away from it?
That's a good question. I don't know any craft breweries that actually do pasteurization in-house or at all, because it's an expensive big project. It needs to be heated to a certain degree for a certain period of time.
Right.
And a lot of craft breweries, as they transfer the beer, some of the yeast comes along with it, which is why we got, in the first beer, we got all that sediment at the bottom. That's natural yeast still suspended in the beer that will just settle over time. It's perfectly fine. It's not going to hurt anything.
It's
supposed
actually.
To be there, right? Yeah. And it can be flavorful.
Well, I'm glad we had the opportunity to drink this. This is really nice.
I'm sticking by my original. This has gotten more and more caramel as I go.
Is it
really
warming
like
up?
Yeah.
It's nicely warming
it
up.
It might caramel more as it warms up.
I really like this beer.
Oh, maybe I should have let it warm up. I chugged mine.
I'm not usually a malty beer kind of guy, and I really like this one.
Now, is this the same brewery?
Same brewery.
As
yeah,
same
Mantra.
Brewery.
Mantra okay. Brewery.
The, all three of these are from the Mantra brewery. Yeah.
Okay.
And this is a 7.5 alcohol by volume.
Right. So, respectable.
We're yeah. still splitting a bottle, so we're
right.
all right.
Right. Right.
I mentioned at the top of this recording that I, too, have seen this movie.
Oh, yes. I'm at the edge of my seat. I want to hear
you forcing it on me. And actually, hey. Because I, you know, well, because I officially quit at the last podcast, it was a couple days later when we got together for a social gathering, our Indeed. Little crew of people, and you happened to mention that this was what we were going to watch because we didn't talk about it on that
Yeah, you
episode.
Started screaming something at me. And I know.
I did. I did.
What on earth are you talking about,
yes.
woman?
So when I was in high school, two of my friends, both boys, named Stacy and Shannon, were
seriously
yes,
that's
both
awesome.
Boys
what are the odds?
Stacy and Shannon, I know, right? They were watching the cartoon of the Guyver, and the title of the cartoon is the Guyver Bio Booster Armor.
Yes, it was a series, I think, in the 80s.
Yes, I guess I don't know, but. They would, of course, you know, none of us knew that this is just, they were friends. They're hanging out. They found this cartoon, whatever. They're watching this cartoon. So they started, we would go somewhere and one of them would like get out of the car or like we'd, you know, go to the movie theater, or go to the bowling alley, or whatever. And the first time one or the other would see each other, they would yell, "The Guyver Bio Booster Armor!" at each other all the effing time, right?
Oh, no.
Which was... like startling to the rest of us because A, we had no idea what the hell they were even saying half the time. B, they're screaming in public. But it became just hilarious, right? So at some point in time, because of this, I ended up seeing this movie. Now, in my mushing together of memory, that screaming phrase is in the movie. So when we were watching the movie last night, I was super confused when it never happened. Like, I was like, the movie ended. And I looked to try to go, is there a sequel to this movie?
There
like,
is.
There is. He go, well, I said, is there a sequel to this movie? Troy goes, surely not. And I like start looking. I go, oh, there is.
I have it.
Yeah. And so I actually recently reconnected with my friend Stacy
oh,
from
good.
High school.
Okay.
And he.
Do you remember?
Like, I did. I texted him today and I was like, so. I need you to think back. Was it in the cartoon because it wasn't in the movie because I just watched the movie again? Or was this just because it was the title of the cartoon, something that the two of you as goofballs just decided to scream at each other? And he texts me back and he's like, I do remember screaming it. I'm pretty sure it's in the cartoon. Mm. So somewhere within the episodes of the cartoon, probably when the Guyver becomes the Guyver,
yes.
he must yell or someone yells, you know, like I imagine it being like Voltron.
There is there's a tradition or I guess a practice, or I don't even know what you would want to call it in Japanese, I guess, science fiction or whatever. If somebody is performing a move of some kind, they have to scream it at the top of their lungs.
That is a trope in a lot of the tokusatsu, Super Sentai.
Yeah,
where their Ultraman will always say what he's doing is like flaming fist, and he'll say it. And a lot of times, when you're watching the Japanese version, they'll say it in English, Super Sword, and you get the big sword, and he'll say the actor will say it in English.
Yeah,
and it's always. Oh, I know those words.
Oh, I see. The whole rest of the movie
it's in Japanese.
And
then he'll
except
say,
then that announcement.
Yeah, he'll say, big shoulder guns activate or something like that. And,
that's
and,
hilarious.
Yeah, it's
what a
really
weird,
cool.
Like...
Well, the most recent example that I can think of is in One Punch Man.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, specifically, I'm thinking about Puri Puri Prisoner, and he has a move called the Angel Rush, and so it's all in Japanese, and all of a sudden he's like, Angel Rush, and then he's completely naked.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't watch that cartoon.
It's such a good cartoon.
It's really good.
I'm obsessed.
Season
One
is so good.
Yeah. Well, so having had this history of these boys yelling, the Guyver, and like eventually they stopped saying the, so it was just Guyver, Bio Busa Ama. They would yell this, right? So I don't know when it was. Sometime when I was in college, I've spent too much of my life being friends with too many boys who are just ridiculous. And I love
I don't know what you're talking about.
Every aspect of it. But
how little everything has changed.
But it's, I know, as I'm sitting in a room with three boys. But it has brought me many, many moments of hilarity and joy, which is probably why I continue to do it. But at one point, one of my roommates has said something about taking a shower, but like it came out weird. So it sort of sounded shower. Like shower
yes.
kind of thing. And yes. instantly my brain went, Bioplastama! And of course they didn't get it, which made me laugh even harder. So it's been 25, almost 30 years since Shannon and Stacey started screaming Guyver Biobooster Armor. And I'm here to tell you that when I tell my child she needs to take a shower, she goes, shower, Bioplastama! And she has no idea why, other than her parents are crazy and shout this at each other and her and what have you.
Last night, like, we had to pause because she was, like, coming downstairs, like, asking us questions during Guyver. And I'm like, hey, look, that's Guyver Biobooster Armor! And she's like, does he like shower? Yeah. Like, no. And she's like, okay.
He's stinky. Yeah.
Well, she can be forgiven for asking that question. Yeah. I mean, what context does she have?
She has zero context. No, yeah, yeah. I know.
When I was in college, I went through a phase where I did what like in these Japanese movies would do. Like, so if I was ever doing anything, I would actually pretend, but I would treat it as if I was doing some sort of special move.
Oh, right.
Like,
like shouting, dishes, like, yeah. Wash the dishes.
I'm like, telephone book, open.
I started taking like my normal amount of like minute by minute notes about this movie when the scroll a la Star Wars was not, it wasn't even that long, but it was so complicated. When it finished, I was like, okay, hit pause for a second, because I wanted to write down a couple things. And he goes, I'm just going to rewind it and start it again. I was like, oh my God, we're going to be here forever watching this movie.
Oh. Yeah, for an 88-minute movie, this one took a while.
It did. Well, this movie suffered from the same thing that I've complained about in a couple other movies, where the fight scenes go on too long.
Yeah.
It's all, the fight scenes are the padding.
Well,
because the story is so not
the
there.
The story is weak.
And so they got to, what was it? Was it 74 minutes? 88 minutes?
88 minutes.
88 minutes. So there's probably.
And it was 80 minutes of fighting.
Just about.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, like all their budget was the cool costumes.
Oh,
like,
right. My goodness, the practical effects were great.
Even I said, these are some good suits.
Yeah, these were awesome.
Uh-huh. And
The problem is they've got these great monster costumes and the great Guyver armor.
The suit armor, yep.
All of it looks great. And then they're just basically like shadow boxing one another. It's like, this is supposed to be the world's most intense, devastating weapon. And they're like slapping one another. It's like, no, it doesn't work.
Well, I was disappointed in the lighting in the movie. Like, I know that it was supposed to be like dark, creepy lab, dark, creepy alleyway. It was dark. Everything was dark. And it's like, but the suits are great and amazing. Why is it so dark that you can't see the fucking suit?
When you get a good look at the suit, it still looks good.
Yeah.
I think that probably one of the reasons why the fight scenes were so long was put them in front of the camera more.
Yeah,
they spent the money on it. Yeah, yeah. Right. Let's get some good.
I think
use
that's
out
obviously
of them.
True. Yeah,
the directors of this movie. What were they?
Like Savage Steve. Something.
No, Screaming Mad George.
Screaming Mad George
and Stephen Wang. They're both creature effects guys.
Yeah,
not directors, and it really shows.
Like, there's a scene where Mark Hamill's leaving the Cronus Corporation and yelling at the other guys because they didn't do enough, and they just kind of like follow them down the street. Now, like, to the point where I'm like well aware that's like there's just a guy walking along with the camera next to these guys.
Yeah.
And it's just like they can't get
as
in
Luke
close
complains about
like
power converters and the Tashi.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I would say that Mark Hamill is the only one that I can think of in this movie as far as performances go that really felt like he was giving it his all.
Mm. Yeah.
He looked like he was being a professional, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everyone else was probably just the subject of really poor direction, because with the exception of David Gale,
Jeffrey Combs.
Wait, which ones are those two?
Jeffrey Combs is the big bald guy.
No. No, Jeffrey Combs was one of the nerds.
He was one of the lab guys at the end.
He was one of the lab guys at the end.
Yeah.
He was a co-star with... Oh, hell.
No, he was Herbert West,
yes,
Reanimator.
Yes, Herbert West. His name was Dr. East.
Yeah.
In this film.
Okay.
In the Reanimator.
Done on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. And then, what's his name?
Gale.
David Gale played the evil bad boss guy.
He's the Zoolord.
Yes. He was also like the dean in Herbert in Reanimator.
The head of the department or Herbert.
Yes, in the Reanimator. But anyway, right. His head was reanimated in the Reanimator.
Okay. I have not seen
He walked around half the movie with his head in a tray, literally.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
That's why he was the head of the evil corp.
Yeah. Oh, I figured that's where your joke was going, but I was like, yeah, I haven't seen that movie.
That guy was decapitated.
I got the text message that was like, I am writing my 6-minute synopsis, and I just wrote a joke in here that no one's going to get but me. Ha ha ha.
I'm
funny, damn it. Which is always...
He'll never be the head of a major corporation. Yeah,
always one of my favorite messages from Pete is when he ends it with, I'm funny, damn it.
No, but Mark Hamill, David Gale, Jeffrey Combs, and honestly, Michael Berryman.
Berryman, yeah.
From the Hills, big ball guy.
Yes,
that's
The Hills Have Eyes, Weird Science.
Does that time!
Sorry. But like they seem to be either having a lot of fun or really putting their all into it, like being professionals. Everyone else was just abysmal. Like they were just appallingly bad.
Dude, Jimmy Walker.
Awful.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, when the movie first started, Troy was like, that's not Tracy Morgan. And I was like, no, Tracy Morgan's not old enough to be that guy.
Right.
And then, man, did he look like
he came into the light more. And I was like, no, it's JJ.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's funny. Shit, it is.
Yeah. In case you weren't sure, he threw in that dynamite at the end to make sure that you knew.
And God, when he turned into his monster.
Because he looks so much like Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, there's that.
There was part of that. Yeah. Oh, he looks like a mixture of Jar Jar Binks and a gremlin.
I thought it looked like a gremlin.
But the first thing I noticed was the caricature style lips. I'm like,
yes, yes.
I thought that too.
And he was still wearing chains, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like none of the other monsters retained any part of their outfit.
The science guys all had their neckties on.
Oh, and yeah, and that's glasses. Right. You're right. Mm-hmm.
And
that
the glasses.
Was funny.
And glasses.
And their glasses.
That was very funny.
Yeah.
But he was DJ Stryker.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was painful.
Yeah, that was painful.
That was painful.
The rapping is like...
I just felt sad for him.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you poor man.
Yeah.
This is what you've been reduced to. The rapping Gundam.
Yeah.
But the girl who played Miski, you called like 5 different names during your 6 minutes.
Did I?
In the movie, they call her... Well, they don't say her name for a really long time. And then when they finally do, they call her Miski.
Yeah.
How he says it in the movie.
Miski.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, during the synopsis, you're like, Mixy, Miski, Mitzi.
Oh, wow.
Mitski.
Can't change it now.
Yeah.
you got around 6 minutes, so you're cool.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, I recognized her from like, I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or something.
Yes. That is another one that she's
I think she might have was. Mm-hmm. She might have been in Joy Luck Club. Like, she's an actress, and her performance in this movie was just terrible.
She had nothing to do, though.
Her emotional range was supposed to go from like hysterical about her dad to flirting with Sean to horrified by almost being kidnapped to flirting with Sean to hashtag me too, waking up in that guy's office. The reanimated guy, and he's like, she's unconscious laying there, and he's like rubbing his hand down her cheek. I'd stopped taking notes at this point, and I just started going, no, no. And then he like licked his hand and then went to touch her again, and I was like, no, no.
He played the same gross dude in the Reanimator.
Oh.
So all that icky touching, yeah.
Yes. Well, and you notice when she sat up, she's also, they undressed her and redressed her while she was
in a man's shirt. I didn't notice that.
Well, because she's wearing a man's long sleeve Oxford shirt that is significantly too big for her.
It had a signature on it. I couldn't quite.
Yeah, it had a like a
JDMR or something like that.
A monogram on
it. Yes, it had a monogram on it, exactly. And you see her when she sits up, she like arms cross across her body as she's like,
is everything
this
there?
Is not the clothing that I laid down, like that I had on the last time I was conscious. Oh. And I just was like,
my point being, she can act and she couldn't because she was not given good direction because these directors are not directors.
And I don't think she had a story to work with.
No. I actually looked up the screenwriter, and I think he has two other screenwriting credits vanished off the face of the earth.
Yeah. He's working at Best Buy right now.
I don't know, but he shouldn't be screenwriting. Because this is a really clear example. Like we run into this a lot. Any adaptations of comic books or things that in general... Yes, thank you. Like the Tim Burton Batman's?
We've had this conversation before.
The Tim Burton version of Batman. He wanted to create something like The Dark Knight Returns. Like he wanted that sort of deco-ish, you know, dark, moody feel. But he didn't understand Batman the way that a Batman fan would understand. Mm-hmm. So he still made a dark version of the campy Adam West and Burt Ward 1960s series Batman.
The first one was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed them all, except for the.
I like the first two, real well.
The Schumacher ones, fuck that guy.
Nah. Yeah,
well,
like,
yeah.
That's... Though honestly, I'd like to see him again because, like, I wonder how they've aged. Like, are they just?
It's gonna be bad.
Are they gonna be so bad that I can kind of enjoy this now because they're so over the top bad?
I saw them relatively recently. Well,
it still don't work, huh?
About 10 years ago, I saw them again.
Might be ice.
Oh, God.
To see them again.
But other stuff, like up until, I would say, right around Joss Whedon's Avengers, people didn't take comic book stuff seriously.
Mm-mm.
I mean, there was here and there, like things like Men in Black or Blade.
The Christopher Nolan Batman.
They took the material seriously. Mm. Before then... It was just like, oh, yeah, this is great.
Kids will love this.
Yeah. Like The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Mm. Oh, Jesus.
That was so disappointing.
Or Watchmen. The Watchmen, the movie.
Yeah.
Dick Tracy.
The people who made these movies, or whoever's controlling that IP as far as the movie is concerned, didn't understand the material, and so they only saw it as its potential to sell action figures or whatever.
I think that it wasn't until the people who grew up loving those kinds of stories got into a position to be able to tell those kinds of stories that those got better.
I'm pretty sure that's spot on.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. I'm not the biggest fan of the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man that were Sam Raimi, but those are good.
That first one is bitching.
Right. Like, you know, that, and it's because he loved that story.
He loved
that character. But I think you're right. And I don't know that for a Western audience, we have had someone of Asian culture in a position where they love a story and then have the power to get it out there the way we have with like the Marvel Universe or whatever. And we just haven't had that, a property that is steeped within the Asian culture or like in the Mexican culture when you talk about the Luchador movies.
The
Santo movies. We haven't had someone who
grew
gets
up and
it
loved it
and is now in a position to make those kind of movies to bring it to a Western culture where it gets the respect it would deserve.
Robert Rodriguez is the only guy that I can think of that.
Oh, man. A Robert Rodriguez Santo movie. Luchador movie.
That might be cool. I think he'd do it.
I kept thinking, like, this movie reminded me of the live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Yes.
Which I saw in the theaters, and I also saw two. Later on, the Power Rangers would come, but by the time they got popular, I was already too old for them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie, was based on the animated series, which is based on a comic book. And that comic book is nothing like
the animated series, anything else. Any of it.
So they took a lot of liberties with that, which is fine. And I mean, it was, the creators were completely on board with all that stuff. So it wasn't exactly being treated disrespectfully. It was just an acceptable
adaptation. It was just a different version.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
yes.
I thought that the costumes looked a hell of a lot like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies.
Hmm. I did too.
Rocksteady and Bebop. No,
they were not in the movies. They were not the live action movies.
Well, there were
different mutants in.
Okay. All right. It's been a long time since I've seen those. But anyway, the monsters in there looked a lot like the monsters in the Guyver.
You know what they reminded me of was Predator.
Mm-hmm.
And funny enough,
the skin, the way the skin was and the way the suits moved, but even a lot of them had googly eyes. The monsters had a lot of googly eyes.
JJ's monster had little tiny googly eyes.
Yeah. And JJ's monster actually reminded me of that big orangutan looking thing from Big Trouble in Little China. And both Predator. I do too. Funny that we mentioned Big Trouble in Little China and Predator, because the directors of this movie worked on both of those movies in the creature department or the
that makes the effects a lot department. Of sense. I didn't dive that deep. I'm glad you did, because I'm like, oh man, I've seen the way that they moved, the way those creatures moved, and in those films, it's all coming together.
Yeah,
it's very clear that they've got a formula for a rubber suit that moves really nicely.
Yeah, they were really, really impressive. In fact, I was looking really closely at the Guyver armor when he first transforms into the Guyver at, I think, minute 26, 27. I don't think. I know, because I was timing it. Because I was watching the clock, and it was like, I was
can
Merlin.
Can we get a fucking Guyver already?
I did pause the movie at one point with the hopes that the little bar would come across to tell me how much longer I had. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck, there's no timer bar. I don't know how much more of this movie
sorry about
is
that.
Gonna be.
How dare you?
How dare me?
But I was watching the transformation. I was looking very closely at the suit, because I knew, since these guys were creature effect guys, that this is going to be pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it was. Like, even the eyes of the Guyver suit, they move.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's badass.
Yeah, when he first, like, when it first started to, like, overtake him, it was kind of like making one of those, like, it's that noise that all things make when it's supposed to be slimy and crawling. Yes, that.
Oh.
And I was like, ah. And then it, like, all wrapped around him. It was very sinewy. And I was just like, ugh. But then it sort of solidified into armor, which I thought was cool. And I did enjoy the fact that the mask, like, set out puffs of smoke, kind of like a dragon
once in a while.
From side to side. And then, and the eyes were like an almond shape, but pointing upward, and they'd fan out. So like when the mask comes on completely, the eyes flicked out, almost like cat ears flicking. So eyes would flick out and the puffs of smoke would come out the side. And to me, that was the moment where he should be yelling, Gaiba, I almost saw him, but he wasn't. And
you
I was
were
like,
waiting for it.
Where
it
is
wasn't
the line?
Yeah, it looked like the eyes were focusing. Like, okay, I'm in position now. Where's there? That's where it is. That's that suit transformation, like where the all the sinews like wrap around his neck.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And like, or the second time when
the second time
when he like kind of like
it explodes outward.
I am the Guyver, and he like puts his arms out and all these pieces fly out attached by sinews, and then they all retract onto him. Like,
and there's no CG. Was there a little tiny bit of CG?
I don't think so.
I don't think
so. Man, I don't know.
On a $3 million budget, I doubt it.
Oh, that's a good point. Back in 91, yeah.
And with all those costumes. Because, like, how many monsters were there by the end of the movie?
Yeah, honestly, there were a bunch. Yeah. And I'm sorry.
Well, the moment where he, like, throws his arms out and all the pieces fly out, that looked almost animated. Like,
that's what I thought. That was the only part I thought that I'm not real sure how you did that, because it kind of exploded out of his back. All the pieces, and then it retracted to him, and then as it was hitting his biceps and his thighs,
clapping
and
onto his body,
that was clearly practical effects. There was something physical was hitting him, but when it spread out like that, I'm like, that's how did you do that?
Yeah,
because if it's 100% practical, I haven't a clue. But if it's animated or a little bit of CG. That would make a little bit of sense.
Which was so frustrating, because that was so cool, and then they like slap each other, you know?
And then the fights
like,
are all bullshit.
Like at the fight, he like grabs the guy's head and like knees his head, and it's like, okay, but that's not like bio booster armor level.
And how dumb is an elbow knife?
Wait, it's an elbow knife, except for one point where the guy grabs him from behind, and then he just elbows him without the knives out. It's like, dude, this is your chance. You missed it. You missed it. Yeah. Then later, I actually wrote down, he's like, for a guy that has knives on his elbows, why didn't he elbow the guy with his knives? And then later he does it. I'm like, oh, well, now I have to cross that out because he does it.
Yeah. I laughed out loud. Real hard, real, like, I should not have laughed.
A genuine laugh.
A genuine, not a, hey, huh, that's funny, which is normally what happens, but an actual, like, chuckle laugh out loud when he's fighting the gang in the alleyway. Oh, yeah. I called them the yellow bandana.
The bandana,
yes.
Yeah, the yellow bandana gang.
Because
I was like, how can I make them seem as ridiculous as they are? But when he runs up to the guy who finally tries to shoot him and he bends the gun down,
right.
And it's not like a shotgun where there's like a ton of metal to like bend. It's a little tiny pistol, mm-hmm. handgun, revolver, and he bends it down. He doesn't just bend it and it goes away. He pulls his hand away and you see it like curled down. I don't know why. That just made me laugh. So hard. I was like, he bent the gun. That's hilarious.
I did notice that scene is the first time you see the Guyver in action.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's a lot of throwing guys.
Yes.
Which is throughout almost all the fights when they're not pretend kicking or shadow boxing.
Yes.
It is people being thrown. And I'm impressed that the suits can take that much stunt work. But I have actually seen like the feature length OVA, like the animated Guyver. It's been many, many years.
Wow.
So I don't remember much of it, but it's way violent.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's set in a high school and the Guyver's actually a teenage kid, but
shocking.
Yeah.
And none of that surprises me.
Yeah. Yeah. A Japanese
high schooler that's omnipotent to a degree. And
turns into a big juicy monster or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's also all the monsters are goopier.
Yeah. Well, boy, the death scenes on these guys were pretty icky.
The fishman melted.
Well, so the did Guyver. The Guyver
melted.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Straight
well,
up
when
melted.
He pulled that orb out
gross.
Of the Guyver.
Oh,
that
was good
had
and
all
gross,
that guts hanging off the bottom of it. I was like, ah.
Yeah, there's definitely roots.
Yes. Yes. Ooh, pulling. Like, to me, that was just a little too close to pulling
it made
an
me
eyeball
laugh
out. And I was like,
when
ah.
Misty. Thank you. when she had the orb at the end, when it was reforming or whatever, and she tried to throw it.
And it's like holding on to her.
And it was holding on to her. She's
with
jiggly tentacles.
Yes. Yes.
That made me laugh.
Well, and I laughed when it like she finally got rid of it and the other guy's like choking on it. Like the other monster.
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah, I neglected to put that in
like,
the synopsis.
You know, whatever. And I'm like, are they going to Heimlich this guy? He's going to fly into somebody else's mouth? Or like, what are they going to do at this point? But instead he like is dying from it, lays out on the ground and you see like the little knife like pop up.
The elbow
Jaws
knife.
Music.
Yes. And then the Jaws music. I was like,
Kathleen
really?
Burst out laughing at that point.
Oh, that was funny to you?
Oh, yeah.
That made me mad. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Well, because it's stupid.
Right. It was totally dumb.
Yeah. Well, and like by that point, I felt like that was like the third different movie reference which you had texted and you were like I can't remember what movie they referenced.
RoboCop a couple
RoboCop,
times.
Right?
RoboCop they referenced and they referenced Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because one of the CIA guys accuses Mark Hamill of searching for Ninja Turtles.
Right.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. And
then the Yellow Bandana group calls him RoboCop like back off right. RoboCop.
Yes.
And then at one point while they were fighting the monsters, like the Guyver like kicks like four or five monsters down and then he turns around and looks at the main monster and he goes, your move. And I was like, come on, say creep, your move, creep.
So, but Pete texted me, oh, here we go, RoboCop reference. I hate when movies remind me of films I'd rather be watching. And I seriously was like, you know, you can at any time. You can just turn this off and turn on RoboCop.
No, dedication.
Or whatever. But so between, you know, Ninja Turtles and RoboCop and then
Jaws.
Mm-hmm. Like by the time the Jaws came out, I just busted out laughing at the ridiculousness of it.
Funny that you mentioned movies that you'd rather be watching.
Right, yeah.
Because right around the beginning of the second act, which is when he turns into the Guyver for the first time,
right.
I'm like, I'm fucking sick of this. And so I just turned it off for a little while, and I went to go watch something else. never mind.
Say, well, is that when you watched Conan? Because I remember getting a text earlier this week about you watching Conan.
And, you're like,
and at first I was like, O'Brien?
No, I watched the 2011 Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, with, man, that could have been good.
It could have been, but wasn't.
Your text said, I just turned off Guyver to watch Conan, and it's like punching yourself in the nuts with your right hand, and then you change your mind and punch yourself in the nuts with your left.
I remember saying that.
Yeah.
I thought that the movie kind of started out trying to be dark and a little silly, but by the end, they were going full Looney Tunes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was straight Power Rangers.
It felt like they were trying to be a little noir, where like nobody had a name at the beginning.
Right.
Like you only knew that it was Dr. Sagawa, because you learned it in the giant scroll.
Right.
You know,
right.
And he's running away, but like we didn't know. I called him Big Baldy. Like, we didn't know Big Baldy's name. We didn't know JJ's real name. We didn't know the headless guy from Reanimator's name for a long time. You could assume he was the Zolord or whatever, but you didn't know any. You didn't know Misty's name.
There wasn't a lot of mystery.
Like, right. So it was like, it was very, a lot of kind of noir. Like, we're not going to give you a lot of details. You have to pay close attention and, you know, that kind of stuff. But then you're right. It absolutely, like, once all the suits busted out, it was straight on. Yeah, Looney Tunes, Scooby Doo, the end of Roger Rabbit kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, it all just descends.
Yeah, I mean, it was just at some point when, like, all, like, it was Monsters on Parade, like, when the scientists turned into monsters. I'm like, okay, this is like full on Muppet Show going on.
Yes.
Here. Like,
yes.
But all the costumes were great. Oh, yeah. Man.
They all looked great.
Mark Hamill's monster bug that he turned into was gross.
That reminded me of, like, in The Thing.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's cool and gross.
Yeah.
But cool.
Even the last...
I didn't understand why.
I don't know.
Because they got him out of the...
Was he in there too? Was he not in there long enough?
Yeah. Well, they said he wasn't in the soup long enough.
Ah, but that's fine.
Again... Why?
Because he didn't want to be in the sequel.
Yes.
Yeah. I loved the end boss. That was a big suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Now maybe they did some forced perspective.
Sure. Or some multiple pieces.
It's possible, but
use
if that
the
was...
force perspective.
But if that was
that's so dumb.
If they were acting proper, that thing was giant.
I know, I get it. Yeah. It was. Even if it was two multiple pieces that they, like, you know, film this side on this side, film this side on this side.
Are you talking
still
about the Zolord?
Huge.
Yeah, when the Zolord turned into
some
the
kind of
Zolord.
Giant scorpion bug type
something
thing.
Something around right.
Oh, that was...
One of my favorite lines of all from this movie was from the Zolord, where the guy comes back with the empty suitcase and he's all angry.
Because there's, so, like,
there's a toaster in it.
So he takes over his mind and makes him start beating himself up. And he goes, I'll have you slap yourself into oblivion.
Yes, Pete wrote, stop punching yourself. Stop punching yourself in the text that he sent.
Like, oh, this is the least scary villain ever. Like, stop that.
Oh, wait a minute. What about another scene where he burns his toast and an act of sheer petulance, he just slaps his toaster down?
Like, yes, he's using the gross toaster from the alleyway to make.
I didn't realize
toast.
That.
Well, I mean, I assumed like he got that's what was in the silver suitcase was a toaster, and then later he has a toaster that has burnt it black and it's on fire.
Oh,
there's
I missed
a reason
that
somebody
entire...
threw that toaster away.
But speaking of awesome lines, my favorite one, and it was also like the most groan-worthy, was when the Guyver comes back and he cuts himself out of the guy, and he's like, you can't kill me. I've been rejected by death.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That's one of those lines that's like, are you trying to be dark or silly?
I had to pause.
Tell me that isn't from the cartoons.
I had to pause it and looked up to see if that was a direct translation from one of the episodes of the animated series or from the OVA or something like that. Nope. A screenwriter put that down, put it, committed it to paper, looked at it, read it, and I'm like, yep.
There's so many of these moments that I'm thinking, though, if this had been in the cartoon and they delivered it straight, it would kind of be cool.
It'd kind of be awesome, yeah.
But, like, because it's in a live action and it's just not delivered well, it comes off as just fucking bad.
I laughed at the scene where JJ first turns into the gremlin and is, like, running and, you know, the whole thing. And he ends up running past everybody and jumping over the fence and landing in the filming of a monster movie.
It's really, like, really unequivocally.
I laughed. I was just like, that is so fucking stupid.
So dumb.
And you get a hint that something is happening when Mark Hamill and the other two characters go over the fence, because there's some random dude, like, helping them off the thing.
Really?
And I'm like, oh, is he supposed to be in the movie? Like, when that first happened, I was like, editor, like, I don't think you're supposed to see that, until then JJ comes over the fence and the girl screams and then she's like, you stepped on my line, and I was like, oh my god, he landed in a movie. That's
of course he did.
So stupid.
I did suspect that that was some support, sort of like fourth wall breaking situation, or like when they're making like a self-reference to them making their own movie. I thought it might have been that. I'm like, that's dumb. And then I saw what they were actually doing, which is the monster landed on a movie set. I'm like, that's dumber.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It felt, but it was the kind of dumb that made me laugh.
It felt very dumb. There was something about that that was like, oh, this is what the 1990s felt like.
Oh,
there's a lot of those movies from the 1990s.
That
it's
did
like
some stupid shit, like that.
Especially early, because this is 91. Mm-hmm. So they're still clinging on to the zany 80s.
Well, you know? Spaceballs, there's a scene where Dark Helmet swings his Schwartz blade and accidentally, like, slashes a cameraman or like one of the crew.
Yeah.
Remember that? And
yeah.
I was like, he did it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it felt kind of like that. And then it wasn't that. And I just, like, okay, I think I have about 62 minutes left of this movie.
I laughed.
And then went on for eight
when
more hours.
When the zaniness of all the monsters are coming and they're trying to, when the Guyver is fighting everybody and Miski and Max are trying to escape, and the monsters are literally foiled by a spiral staircase.
They're too fat to get up the spiral staircase.
I was just like,
that was great.
Oh my
God. That was part of the Scooby-Doo. And there was a spot where Mark Hamill, before he turned into
Roach Mark Hamill.
And Miski went to the left, and then they
turned around
and came to the right without the camera moving at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
Completely...
You almost want there to be like doorways that they can go into.
Yes.
Yeah, they're doorways down the hallway.
They're running around trying to get out of this lab. When JJ first turned into a monster, and then later, like when that whole crew becomes monsters and chasing him in Detroit, I go, this is like Gwar, the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Except one of them was a lady, and she fully had nipples on her boobs.
She fully had boobs. Yes.
Yeah,
like
boobs,
which you don't see for a long time. It's not until almost when she's getting ready to die. Yep. At least that's when I saw.
She only changed once, and then she died.
Turned around.
No, she also changed
in the alleyway when she was chasing them through the
Mesa. Okay.
But like,
all right.
I mean, anatomically correct. I mean, I get it. It's fine.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah, it turned. She turned around, and I was like, "Oh, she has boobs." Troy goes, "Yeah, she does."
Was this a weird boner situation?
Might have been.
God, I hope
she
not.
Had a weird
she was,
pink hair, right? Pink hair and no hair on.
No,
her
she's boobs. Redhead.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the monster she turned into was like had auburn fur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And monster boobs.
Was she somebody that you guys knew?
She's a stunt actress.
Okay.
And a fitness model, and I think she's an Olympic athlete.
She had some arms.
She's no joke.
She looks strong.
She's legit.
Yeah.
And apparently a really awesome person. Like, I had to dive into her because I'm like, who are you? You're awesome.
Yeah.
You look incredible. Like just neat.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think she's got a statue erected of her somewhere.
What? Really? Like,
yeah, there's
kind of like our Arnold statue
erected,
downstairs.
Right.
Downstairs?
Downtown. Well, I have one. Okay, I have one in my basement too.
Yeah, I figured that.
No, but,
I have an adult.
I apologize to the actress. She's a real health nut, and she's done a lot of amazing things in her life, and this was not one of them.
But I'm sure she had fun. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, hopefully. She clearly had a good time in this film.
She probably then, if she was also a stunt actor, was in her suit.
Possibly.
How that many wouldn't... of the other people do you think were in their Zero. Suit?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I don't think any of them were really in their suits. The main
Sean
actors
was,
that turned
like,
into them, I don't
dude?
Believe for one instant. Well, maybe, because he was a doofus. He could totally have... It didn't feel like the actors were in their suits. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Well, it's like watching the Power Rangers. Those American ding-dongs were not... in their suits.
No. It wouldn't surprise me to know that there were stunt actors in those suits.
I wouldn't expect any of them to know how to move in a suit. That's an art form all unto its own,
right.
to understand how to move, to exaggerate your movements as you're walking through an alley or even fighting.
Well, and we've talked about before, like, I'm sure a giant chunk of the budget went to these suits.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to put, you know, dynamite in a $400,000 suit and have him screw it up
generous.
On the first day of, you know, filming kind of thing.
And he might not fit. I mean, and is he athletic enough to move in the suit? That takes a lot of energy
right.
to do
that. A lot
that.
Of strength.
And a lot of strength, right.
Although I couldn't help but laugh when the Guyver transforms for the first time and he's looking all fearsome in the armor and he's staring down these gangsters. And he's like, no, I'm going to get you. In that high, high voice
yes,
that actor
yes.
has. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yes. And they added kind of a...
like an echo or
a
reverb
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, to there, it to
there
make
was a
it
robot,
sound kind of
a 90s
machine-y
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. But it was still, yeah, high pitched.
Of course, the monsters, who had no robotness to them at all, also had that same echo.
A little bit,
yeah.
Little bit.
I think it was supposed to be like the, we are from outer space.
I am the otherworldly.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was supposed to be like a living body armor. Like, it's all organic.
It's bio right. booster armor.
It was so
yes.
very confusing right. how, bio-booster why armor. Even the Guyver existed in this movie.
It was the ultimate weapon.
Yeah, but if the aliens made it and put it on the Earth, why didn't anybody know how to use it? And even one of them says, like, this is the only one we've ever found, so mm-hmm. there might be more.
Well,
there's
and I didn't understand
cartoon.
How the people who made the Zoa whoever's that created
Zoanoids.
The human Zoa
the
whatever's.
Zoids.
Why isn't the Guyver for them?
We're, yeah.
Like, who made the Guyver?
I thought the Zoids made the Guyver.
Right. So why... I mean, I guess it's the same concept of the atom bomb in the wrong hands is the wrong is
right.
the wrong situation, but you know, don't make it. I guess I
it
don't
was,
know.
It was a bit confusing. There were some things. The one thing when I was writing the 6-minute synopsis that totally threw me. So, the scientist is running from the gang, right? And it's night, clearly night. As I'm writing this, he gets killed, and then I think it's next day at the dojo where Sean is getting his ass beat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But then Luke Skywalker comes in and grabs the girlfriend and brings her to the scene of the crime.
And it's night again.
Which it's still night, and they haven't cleaned it up.
What? Well, and I
this
love...
This must have happened in a succession of, like, an hour or something.
Right.
I
well,
love Sean going outside to get on
his Vespa yeah.
and like angrily starting it. Like, it's like, are you trying to make that look cool?
Yeah.
It's not working.
You're angrily trying to start a Vespa.
Well, yeah. And was it just me or was it like a little Vespa? Like,
It was a model
a
up from a moped.
Yeah, because it like it looked.
It had a basket in the
it
front.
Looked
didn't
like,
it
looked like it looked like a him on a kid's bike, like
right.
instead of
yeah.
like a BMX bike.
Yeah, well, like just like on a yeah. child sized bike versus like I don't know.
It was
like
teeny.
A big wheel.
You can get a scooter
mm-hmm.
that is built and shaped and looks like a scooter, but has the type of engine in it that you would have in a more motorcycle type bike.
Right.
So,
but it still has that.
I know some people in the scooter world and
it still has
oh,
that
goodness.
Chow-ness.
It does for sure.
Chow.
That Roman Holiday-ness.
Yes.
Oh man.
I'm not going to scooter shame.
No.
Ride your scooters.
I think they're awesome. Yeah. But I just felt like that one was comically great. Sized small. Yeah.
When you're
for
trying
Sean.
To make your lead like badass for yeah. riding a Vespa, it's
don't
like,
put it on
wow, dude, you, that was a bad choice.
Well, it could have even been like, you know, a navy blue or black Vespa. Like, that was like kind of like light gray. You know?
I thought like, it might be powder blue.
Sea foam.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't tell. It was so dark.
It was dark.
Speaking of dark, I've got a dark beer ready for us.
Ooh.
I think it's dark. I think
that was an artful segue.
I thank you very much.
Artful segue. I
saw Kathleen's eyes go wide. Go. What are you? Where are you going with that? Yeah. Like no, it's beer.
Dark,
it's beer.
The
it's
poop
fine.
That goes into that vase. Oh,
Jesus. Still having nightmares.
Let's go grab a beer.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
So what are we drinking, Pete?
Oh, shit. I'm going to say this wrong, right? Japa? Fuck off.
Japa?
Japa? Japa. Anyway, J-A-P-A. Japa. This is Japa Milk Chai Stout.
Milk Chai Stout?
Milk Chai Stout. So this is going to be real fun.
I have bottle caps all in my crotch.
Is it?
I think so. I've had chai stouts before. They're really good. Milk chai stouts, it might be a little sweeter, so... but they're well, okay, Kathleen, you might hate the hell out of this because it's coffee.
Stinks like coffee.
Yeah.
But thanks. Chai is tea.
You're saying that as chai I'm taking, like, I'm
you,
smelling
I,
it,
you,
and I'm like, oh.
Brought it to your nose. I'm like, but, oh, shit. If you need a maintenance beer, Kathleen, you might want to.
I have one, but.
Okay,
so
great.
So I don't even want to really, we shouldn't have opened all three of these.
Hold on.
Oh, no.
We'll look at drunk.
Hold on. You don't know. You don't know.
Drunk. Which tense should I use?
Michael
they'll get
drank.
Drunk. They'll get drunk or they'll get drank.
They will
they'll
get consumed.
They'll get drunk or they'll get drank.
Drunk. They are drunk or we are drunk.
I don't know.
Thank you, Rod,
drank?
Again for providing these beers for us.
That's interesting. That's like a really sharp
hope we can
stout.
Hook up again sometime. Hey, come to G-Fest, Rod. We'd love to have you.
Oh, Rod.
Oh.
No, this is yucky.
I think you're crazy.
Well.
The Japa Milk Chai Stout, a smooth, rich milk stout brewed with a custom blend of chai spices and the perfect complement of dark roasted malts. Drink this beer fresh.
Uh-oh.
What is considered fresh in beer terms?
Well, fresh. Fresh means a few months.
Uh-oh.
What happened to the misty moonlight of hopsy?
I think this is a much more sensible writer for the description of the beer.
And they fired that other guy.
Right. That dick.
This beer doesn't feel like life is becoming an italicized memory.
Thank you.
Shit.
This has an ABV of 5.1, IBUs of 18, which makes a lot of sense. And there's looks like they're using orange peel and coriander in the as adjuncts.
Yeah. Nope. That tastes like a big
That's
old.
That's delightful. That is so good.
It smells very spiced.
It is. This would be. If you didn't tell me what this was, I would say it's going to be some sort of a holiday beer.
Yeah. With a spice. Shai Hulu.
And I'm not not the biggest fan of Shai. So.
Chai. He was making a joke when he said
did
Shai.
Did I say Chai?
I said Shai.
I heard you and then I said it wrong.
I said Shai Hulu from Dune.
Chai.
The spice must flow.
Chai.
This is like a smoky stout that's like super sharp.
Oh, damn it. I wish you wouldn't have said that.
Sorry, dude.
Why?
I don't want to say it.
Because I put that into your head, right?
You did. Now I'm tasting something different.
Is it poop?
It's adding texture to
No.
Our
stop that.
No, this is... There's a lot going on in this beer.
Yeah.
It is... flavorful.
All right, I'm going to let it warm up a little bit, so because I'm detecting something I don't want to detect.
I did not enjoy
smoke
any of it. It
that's yeah.
It tasted like burnt coffee death to me.
Burnt coffee death.
Mm-hmm. That's what coffee tastes like. Like true coffee, not that delicious coffee, as you called it,
that's
milkshake
not,
that I like
coffee.
To get from.
That's not coffee.
It gives me all the power of coffee that coffee gives to everybody else. Because I don't drink coffee, so even the littlest bit of it, I'm just like, hello. But the regular coffee, like you pour a black coffee. No, burnt death. That's what that tastes like.
Oh, I love black coffee.
I wish that I could develop a taste for that, because it would definitely be less empty calories that I'm consuming when I'm drinking the thing that I'd prefer versus like just a regular coffee.
Well, you could do what I didn't, switch to tea.
I could, but that has a whole other set of issues for me.
Oh, yeah,
but this does have a lot of flavor, because there's not only the smoky stout, but there's also some like dried fruit to it as well.
Yeah,
which is probably where that sharpness comes from. It's like almost a sweet hing behind
okay.
that smoke.
All right, the fruit surprises me. Stouts are usually acidic enough, a little or bitter enough that I don't get. Whereas a porter will have some sort of a dried date or raisin, maybe a cherry in it. The stouts typically are really clean and are nice and straightforward and bitter.
But those are usually more creamy, and this is sharp.
Right. Well, okay, so with a milk stout, they'll add lactose to the recipe, which will give it a creamy mouthfeel to it, even give it a nice...
Say something about you saying the word creamy mouthfeel.
Creamy mouthfeel, and then I reference head. So the head on this is absolutely gorgeous.
Kathleen's just rolling her eyes.
She's like,
this is the downfall of having all your friends.
You don't get head in your sours.
They hurt her roll her eyes.
No one wants sour head.
Gross.
Gross is right.
No, I've been honestly searching for a way to work in a butt joke for like the past 45 minutes.
I know you've
and I've been trembling at the
there's a lack of butt jokes from Dave tonight. I was wondering if we could go the whole
really
podcast
well.
Without a butt joke from Dave.
Hey, don't you detect a little bit of chocolate to this?
If by chocolate, do you mean shit? Out of a butt? You know what, that doesn't work. That didn't work.
But the chai should give it a creamier feel. I
detect a little chai behind the flavor.
Behind?
Yeah.
Posterior.
I wonder if we waited too long for this one. Usually stouts...
Before you cracked it open?
God damn it!
See? This is what happens when you encourage Troy to talk more on the podcast.
I like the first two better than this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, clearly,
I took one sip and handed it to Troy.
Because it's not really, it shouldn't have a smoke flavor to it at all. I wonder if that's part of it's aged, unfortunately, or if that's just the unfortunate process of the stout with the chai. I've had chai stout before, and I've not.
I think we waited too long.
It might be. This might be my fault, and I'll take responsibility for this. And when things do turn into smoke, I get salted meat. Like mostly ham or like.
I was wondering if that was what you were thinking. Yeah. Like a
charcoal briquette.
Charcoal briquette. The briquettes.
Briquettes. I try to live my life with no briquettes.
Yay, beer. So. that's whenever you say smoke. Immediately when you said smoke, immediately I went, oh shit.
Now it tastes like ham.
Now it tastes like ham.
A delicious Virginia ham.
Or hot dog over briquettes.
Yes.
A delicious Virginia hot
and
dog.
And nothing goes with chai like a hot dog.
Like a hot dog.
Ew.
Hot dogs and chai. Ooh, that's the name of my next album.
Is there a butt joke in there?
Hot dogs and lemonade.
That's
I would like to
reach.
Try
just
this
doesn't work.
Fresh. I would like to try this.
I mean, it says yes. It right in the description.
Yeah, drink it fresh. And clearly it did not.
Yeah.
So thanks, Rod. I failed you.
I was just going to say the first two were really good.
The first two, I totally enjoyed both of them.
Yeah. The very first, even the sour, even though that's not my thing, that was.
Oh, the Amour Rouge.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the Amour Rouge.
The Amour Rogue.
The Amour Rogue.
Amour.
And then the second one was the Nouveau.
What was this one?
Chapa.
They're really not going with their theme.
Their bottles are beautiful. I like their.
They are. The artwork is really nice.
Are really works of art. They I can't really describe them. They're just go to their website to see them. They're all very unique. Please don't do that.
Well, I mean the artwork does reflect the name of the beer. Like Nouveau has an Art Nouveau look to it, along with the description.
You're right. You're absolutely right. along with the yes.
The description that was way up its own ass.
Yeah.
The Amour Rouge looks like red armor. That's what that means, right? No?
And the Japa looks like it's reminiscent of almost like Sanskrit-ish, Hindi.
Yep.
I'm just wondering, like we're kind of ragging on the description of the Nouveau about like the
only
know,
because of its ridiculousness.
Like life becomes an italicized memory and like reality tunnel into a time when beer was consciousness. Like there has to be something that ties that to Nouveau, which is like late 19th, early 20th century.
Right.
And I'm just not smart enough or educated enough to get it.
Or
it could be up its own ass. I don't know.
Yeah.
Speaking of up its own ass and deceptive stuff, when I first heard of this movie, specifically like the live action Guyver, I had already been aware that the Guyver existed as an anime and as a comic. And so when I first saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, Mark Hamill's the Guyver. You look at the poster, or at the time it was
how
like
cool
the,
is that?
Yeah.
Look, he's on the poster.
And then when I saw it finally, it was actually on the VHS cover.
So did the VH cover that you saw, was that the torso, or did you see the one with the face?
I think I saw the one with the face.
Okay, that's one I remember
half
seeing.
Mark Hamill, half Guyver mask.
Yes. And then you watch the movie and realize that Mark Hamill is not the true. Guyver.
That's the schlub. Yeah.
Which
this?
Is so interesting.
Oh, that's a hook, line, and sinker. Like, oh.
Yeah, that was very deceptive.
Yeah, I mean, it's Drew Barrymore in the first 5 minutes of Scream.
Mm. Which was kind of brilliant.
I think it was a good move to kill her off because it showed the viewers like, okay, this is...
You have no idea what's coming.
Yeah.
Yes. What it well, and I feel like there might have been some kind of concept that I heard where when this script was floating around, she wanted to be that... She wanted to be in on the joke, in on the gag, in on the draw.
There was a lot of jokes in Scream. So,
right.
Although that's not the movie we watched, but yes.
Yes.
But this did not have a gag.
No.
Well, yeah, this.
They were trying to sell a movie. They were falsely trying to sell a movie.
Yes.
Foamy.
Yes.
Foamy, yes.
Well, I'm assuming that the marketing department watched the movie and went, okay, how are we going to get people to come to this movie?
Right.
We're going to put Mark Hamill right on the cover.
That's exactly what I think it was.
That's my guess.
Half Mark Hamill, the bait and switch.
Hamill. It was definitely a bait and switch,
yeah,
for sure.
Like, if you look up Mazes and Monsters right now, the original poster art, it was like an ensemble, you know. The art now is just a picture of Tom Hanks's head. That's it.
Yeah.
Because they know how to get people to watch the movie.
Watch
this
crappy movie. Hey, look, it's Tom Hanks.
Totally. So in the beginning of this movie, before they start just constantly running, when Mark Hamill's character actually has to act a little bit, he smokes quite a bit.
Yes. Yeah.
Is Mark Hamill, do we know...
Maybe he's a smoker?
A smoker.
In the 90s, I can't imagine.
Not that I'm aware.
70s through the 90s, I can't imagine he wasn't.
His voice has drastically changed.
Yes.
And I know that he's done a lot of voiceover work, so it's possible that he just hasn't really taken care of his instrument the way he should have or what have you. I don't know. He still sounds like... like Mark Hamill that you know from the Star Wars kind of concept. So I was just curious... As I was watching the movie, I was like, what happened to his voice? That it's...
Smoking might have done it. I mean...
Right. Because he was smoking in this movie that made me wonder, like, oh, I wonder if he's a smoker and if that's... And
it just age.
Yeah, I mean, there is
an age thing going on. Oh,
for sure. I just...
But smoking will
It's
also
not
help
just
that.
Like depth of level that his voice sounds rough to me when he talks. And so... I was just curious. It was one of the things that I thought of when I was watching the movie. I did say to Troy, too, that Mark Hamill is one of those people who he is more attractive to me in this movie than he is in those early Star Wars movies. Although, I think he's just one of those people who like really grew into features.
Much like myself.
And then, you know...
Looking for enough rope to hang myself with.
Yes, which that actually, him like looking over his shoulder and saying that felt very the Joker when he did that.
Yeah.
I've always felt that Mark Hamill doesn't get the respect for the talent that he has as much as he probably deserves. Probably because he did the three Star Wars movies. There are a lot of people in the public who probably painted him as like a one-hit wonder.
Yes.
And...
Agreed. Yes.
I did read that there were two cuts of this movie. One was more serious and one was more comedic. I think the American audiences got the serious one.
But I was reading some of this too that talked about that. How there was a director's cut and a theatrical cut. We definitely got the director's cut.
I mean, whatever the case, the source material was just used as a vehicle to make awesome suits. Like in the original Japanese source material, like the Guyver he struggles with his humanity. Like, is he really human anymore? Because like now he's actually part of this. He's part monster.
He's so annoyed.
Yeah.
Basically,
that's an interesting. So a lot of tokusatsu do not breach that subject. Like they're just like, hey, I'm a robot fighting cool dude that saves the world from monsters every week.
I'm gonna summon Ultraman or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, and like in the case of the Guyver, like he's a 17-year-old kid in Japan and like gets, for lack of a better term, like infected with this bio booster armor.
And booster armor. Oh my God.
There were a lot of elements in the Japanese source material that they didn't make it into the adaptation, this adaptation. And so it just tells me that they didn't care about the story really.
No.
They just kind of took the bones of it and made a creature movie.
Hey, Dave. How do we rate our movies? Is that a good segue? That's not a good
segue. No.
That was... Okay. All right, let's get this shit over with. We here at Good Beer, Bad Movie Night have a rather unique rating system. We have the six-pack rating, where a rating of zero beers means the movie was totally enjoyable. A rating of six beers means, conceptually, you don't want to remember this movie. So, let's start with... Kathleen, how many beers do you need to drink in order to tolerate this movie?
I give this movie three beers. And okay. I give this movie three beers because I have a tinge of nostalgia for it based on my friends in high school shouting this publicly and embarrassing us and entertaining us and much to the mortification of a few first dates that happened to be around. Like,
oh, man.
Hilarity ensued. We were super fun. And the movie itself was not offensive or annoying.
Insulting.
Of the fight scenes were a little long for my taste, but maybe it wouldn't have been so bad if they were like fight scenes versus this kind of slapping thing, but...
I'm going to give you such a pinch.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. We've lost Troy.
It's been a while since you did that. three beers.
All right, so three beers for Kathleen. Troy, how many beers do you require to enjoy this movie?
I too said three beers.
I too.
I do?
I too.
You also say three beers.
Me as well say three beers.
Ah, okay.
All
you
right.
As well be caveman now. So,
because it came off as such a typical 1990s action adventure that didn't want to take itself seriously. there were so many movies like this in the 90s that were like, we're going to give you action, but we're also going to throw in the laughs. And it's like, no, you can't fucking... And you throw them in at the worst time. And it's just like there was a very lazy kind of movie that came out like that. But they were all kind of fun to watch. So you kind of like went in and turned your mind off and watched it. And that's what this is. So, yeah, it was fine. So there were a couple moments that kind of kept me... interested. The fight scenes were way too long.
Yeah.
It was a good three.
Okay, so 3 for Troy. Pete, how many beers do you require to
so
watch
far,
this movie?
So far, threes are on the board, because I give it a 3 also. Like Kathleen, I saw it in high school. I was clearly not as cool as the kids that she hung out with, so I did not run around screaming coolness.
Biopazama!
Right. the practical effects were so impressive. The Jimmy Walker stuff was so disappointing.
Well, yeah.
I was like, oh. But I did need some alcohol to actually enjoy it this time around. So, yeah, it's 3.
All right. Cool. All right. 3 for Pete. And for Dave, me, I'm Dave.
You're Dave. Dave, how many beers?
I'm going to give it 3. So, like, Yahtzee or whatever.
I think so. That's a Yahtzee.
Yeah.
That well, is a good beer, but it's a Yahtzee. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess I think Yahtzee's technically 5 dice.
Yes, that are the same, still.
But whatever. But I give it 3 beers because it is not a hateful exercise in self-loathing like a lot of the movies that we've had to watch.
The Delano.
It didn't make me upset in any way. I mean, I noted that, yes, the material is not being particularly respectful to the original source material, but, like, I don't give a shit. Like, this movie was very obviously a way for these directors who are creature effects guys to flex their effects skills muscles, mm-hmm. I guess, yeah, and which were awesome. But ultimately, it was a crap movie. At 3 beers, mm-hmm. I can kind of enjoy this, even though it seems like an 88-minute Power Rangers episode.
Yes.
That's
I think that's a very good way to say it. All right, let's. we've talked enough about this film. Let's
totally.
Let's wrap it up, Kathleen. How are our listener? How will our listeners get a hold of us if they need to yell at us?
If they want to file complaints, they can address them to Pete. They can send them to gbbmnpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at that same complicated set of letters. And you can find us on Facebook at Good Beer Bad Movie Night.
Beautiful. So next month, I think, is a birthday month.
Yes, it's my birthday month.
Have you chosen your birthday movie?
Krull.
Oh, I would see Krull again. So I don't know if I like it, but I'll see it again. All right, that's it. We're done. Thanks for listening, folks. We're totally done. And until next time.
Gaiba! Bio Booster Ama!
You can't kill me. I've been rejected by death.
Oh, the burp tasted like meatballs.
There's the cliff on the edge. There she goes.
I tell my kids at the beginning of the year, I love you. I will always love you. But if you want to stay friends with me, barf in the hall. You don't have to tell me you think you're going to get sick.
I thought you meant like that's a condition of your friendship. If you want to be my friend, go barf in the hall.
First, you make me watch that shitting movie. And now you've taken me to a vomit movie.
She took you to a pee movie next.
I don't know many pee movies.
No.
No? No? You don't want a beer?
I mean, yes. Wait. Sorry. The opposite of no.
Go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves a treat.
Purple. Amour Rouge, bitches.
Literally red love.
Ew. Is that like...
Dude!
And Catherine's out again.
Urine.
I'm in what?
The description on the website, dark and bold with... Yep. Oh, Jesus.
I think somebody might need some readers over there.
Shut up, you. Yeah.
He's playing trombone.
Go
Do you need Dave to hold it so it'd be far enough away?
He should not. We'll fill up the glass with number 2. We'll fill up... the fuck?
Fill up the glass with number 2?
That's the
last one. No!
Oh, God. Shit. Life becomes an italicized memory. Italicized is the word that you're having.
Fuck you.
Crush your enemies. See them dreaming before you and hear the lamentation of the women. I just watched Conan recently. Sorry. I'm here. Do it. Do it now. Kill me. Yeah. Dominic, get down from here. And I'm an Asian. I'm an Asian. I'm Asian. And
When I first looked at him, I thought he was an Oriental.
Oh, God.
But then later I found out he's actually a Mexican. I don't know why I said that. Like Harry Carey.
Good beer, bad movie, and severe bladder damage.
Show up out of pajama!
Okay, I can read all these words.
He's got to get the right distance.
Fuck you!
That's a pretty authoritative snap you got there.
You got.
Although, I mean, did you hear that? Maybe we should let Thanos over here freaking snap
us in. I almost choked Dave.
Piece of something on him that he lifted. Okay, never mind. Cut this out.
Oh, I will. I've been having some bowel difficulties.
There's the butt joke.
Yeah, right. Pete's gesticulating for those people who can't see him, which
I
is everyone.
Don't gesticulate in public.
A brazen wee.
Like you're very brazen and you're like,
I fill your world with echoes of my urine.
Oh my God, this is ridiculous. I need three beers. Two.
God damn it, I wrote four down. So we here at Good Beer Bad Movie Night have a big... God damn it.
When Dave gets all serious.
So we here at Good Beer Bad Movie Night...
My Abustama!
Anyway,
ew.
That was an actual strain too, and I might have done
juice it a little bit. What am I doing right now?
Flexing your butthole. Pinching the old turd cutter.
Ew.
Stapping down the old cigar cutter.
Ew.
My writhing brown starfish.
Ew.
But I haven't even talked about my stinky balloon knot.
Ew.
How many beers do you require to drink this movie from 0 to 6?
to drink this movie? Oh, we're a 6-point rating.
Wrap it up like a mummy.
Stop.
What?
If you really like the movie, there's a 0 score. If you really hate it, there's a whole lot more. 6-point rating.
It's like living in a Stephen Boschko production.
Like wolves are somehow involved.
What?
Wolves.
Wolves?
Wolves.
What's a wolf?
Wolf.
They howl.
The music they make. The children.
Thanks, Dracula.
It's better than a 3-hour tour.
A 3-hour tour. The discussion started getting off the cast. We're all lost.
If not for the courage of the fearless crew.
The podcast would be lost.
The salads would be tossed.
Ew!
You're thinking about buttholes.
Well, because I'm hanging out with the butthole gang, so...
Yeah, you have been butthole primed.
Ew!
Yeah, one pinky later, sex is over! Let me tell you about times when you shouldn't fart. So we hear a good bit, but...
At bed bugs.
What?
So we hear... Why did I take a giant breath and then hold it?
Here.
We're here at Good Beer Bad Movie Night.
Do your best Peter Brady over there.
We're here at Good Bad Movie Night.
I'm growing hair in funny places. Why are my armpits wetter than they usually are?
Ew.
What? It's a natural process.
Something happened while I was sleeping. Okay, all right.
Ew. Too far.
Where'd all this milk come from?
Ew!
If you can't handle me in my Guyver Bio-Booster armor, right. You don't deserve me in my best. And to show the creature effects, flex their creature fleck.
I don't know. Am I talking out of my ass?
Man. You're a
very complex man. When you're ready, put that pole up and we will go get
it. You don't tell me what to do with my pole.
You can't kill me. I've been rejected by death.
That was terrible.
You can't kill me. I've been rejected by death?
I don't think it should be a question.
You can't kill me. I've been rejected by death. You can't kill me. I've been rejected by death.
What's wrong with him? Like, this is watercolors where people paint flowers and grandmas and demons brought to the planet by the Zoa Lord.
Show up!